Are you a soul? Do you have a soul? Do you have a spirit? Are you a spirit? These words matter. Find out more on this episode of Inverse.
Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Welcome, guys. My name's Justin, and you're on Inverse. And in the studio, we have Jonathan, Sebastian, and Callie, my friends. Hello.
Hello.
Aloha.
And we're so great that you're here as well. We're looking at the topic of beyond death. What happens to you when you die? And we're going to look at Bible text and Bible study on the afterlife. We want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org, and you can look at our Bible study guide, and it looks at all the different Bible texts and passages that are a little bit difficult. And a little bit difficult to understand about what happens to you after you die. We also want to encourage you to go to hopetv.org/inverse, and you can actually watch last week's episode that really provides an introduction for this episode. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
We talked about last episode, and you guys weren't here, but Jonathan right. is here, and we talked about the snake and the tree and Genesis 3. Mm-hmm. Really foundational text to understanding this whole confusion about what happens to you after you die.
Right.
Today, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, mm-hmm. and as I mentioned in the opener, there are just a lot of words for this, right? You know, soul, spirit,
Ghost.
Yeah, we need clarity. Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the text. Sebastian, can you pray? And there's a lot of text we're going to get into today.
Right.
So we really need prayer.
Absolutely.
Pray for us.
Okay. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that we have the privilege of having Your Word to guide us and to navigate this world. Lord, especially on the topic of death, which is something that visits every life, every culture, every country. And we pray, Lord, that as we get into the details, and we ask that You would give us understanding and clarity, as Your Word promises, that the Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth, is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Callie, if you can go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. Maybe just one verse today.
Okay. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being."
Living being. So, Jonathan, why is the world confused?
Why is the world confused?
Good luck.
That's the introductory question given to you.
No pressure.
Why is the world confused?
Tell us.
You're making this really easy for me. Because everyone has an opinion.
True.
I mean, it is true that we have the freedom to think. And we are trying to make sense of the world around us. And we live in a time and age where there is a lot of information.
Sure.
And so you're trying to make sense of it as you go. Because as you go, there's another avalanche of information coming at you.
Yeah.
So there is confusion. I feel like sometimes when you look at back at the olden age, it's simpler times. Things are more black and white and clearer at times. Or not as clear. But I think we live in a time and age where confusion abounds, because it is just too much information.
Especially in the topic of death, right? We don't have any, eyewitness accounts like, hey, I died, but now I'm back, and this is what happens.
We do, and they're wrong.
it's not a universal experience, we should say. Like, we all eat an apple. We all know what an apple tastes like. But when it comes to death, there are all these different ideologies, stories, narratives, beliefs, religions, and opinions, and confusion about this.
Yeah. And I think a big part of that comes from Greek philosophy having this sort of dualistic thing where Plato likes to kind of parse things up. Mm-hmm. And so there's like, well, there's the body and then there's the soul, right?
Yeah.
And so this whole idea of this dualism that exists, right? The Bible here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 is essentially speaking against that as the understanding of humanity from the perspective of the Creator.
That Greek understanding is pretty prevalent, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Right? In almost every movie, every cartoon, every whatever, you have that like coming out, and then the body is just a shell. That's really Greek philosophy that permeated in almost every aspect of society, almost every religion out there as well.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Kelly.
Yeah. I think another part of it is just how we take words and we just assume we know what they mean. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, it says this, which obviously means this. And then we just carry on our merry way. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, but based on what? Mm-hmm. Because we can of course, intentionally have like a Greek mindset, like Sebastian was saying. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we forget that like you can think something even if you don't think it on purpose. Mm. And so even if you didn't go out and study Greek philosophy, even if you didn't intentionally be like, I'm going to internalize this belief.
Right.
Just the things that we are exposed to.
They'll just trickle in. Like,
yeah, it just happened. Yeah, there was one series we did about, it's different, but we opened up with about scripts. Mm. There's just different things that we learn.
Yes, the quarter on sexuality.
That's right.
You can go to hopetv.org/inverse and look up sexuality.
Yeah,
just
there.
Only on that website, look up sexuality.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead. So then we talked about scripts. There's different things, ways we've learned to live or ways we've learned to believe about something.
Right.
And that includes about death. And so I just want to have that there because sometimes we can take offense to our beliefs being incorrect. And so it's like, are you saying I'm like dumb? Are you saying I didn't know? Like, mm-hmm. are you saying it's like, well, there's things we all don't know and there's things that we all come to believe accidentally or at least not on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
We just got to
learn
through that.
And I think that stems from this sort of cultural passed down sort of mindset when it comes to the deeper questions of life. Mm-hmm. We just kind of accept and parse things together over time. And as the saying goes, right, that if you repeat a lie enough times, eventually people will believe it to be the truth. Mm-hmm. And people won't even question it. They just assume it to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think when it comes to death, when you look at cartoons, right, I used to love Tom and Jerry as a kid.
He died a lot.
Right, he sure did. And so you're dealing with Boom, and then his spirit, like, leaves his body in the cartoon.
Wait.
And you're just thinking, this is just a cartoon, but yet at the same token, if someone were to press you, you know, maybe 20 minutes later and say, well, what do you believe happens when you die?
It's in your head.
It's in your head, and essentially, what sources are you going to draw upon?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the first episode is so critical, mm-hmm. because when you establish the sense of authority and whose word are we basing this on,
mm-hmm. right.
where's our source of truth? Ultimately, that lie that the devil told is repeated enough times, it is now accepted as a given truth. It's self-evident.
And all of that Tom and Jerry is not just that one show, but it's a whole ecosystem. It's the whole environment that we're in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's God's word that has to pierce through. I mean, we have to put on these glasses and kind of view.
Yeah.
That's a big glasses. to view this world. But more and more, I think just with every generation, that ecosystem is just getting more thicker and viscous and
viscous.
Syrup-like,
but
you know? And
that's
to
a
pierce
good
through it, it gets more and more difficult.
And I think there's an agenda behind this, because not necessarily of one person or one Hollywood mogul who's like, I'm going to influence the whole world.
But Jerry conspiracy.
It's the Thomas Jerry, but it's what I see here is, because we're going to see here in a moment as we're going to dive into the text, I assume, we'll eventually, after we wax
no shade,
here,
no shade.
We're going to see that the Bible paints a holistic picture of what a human being is. Everything is connected. Everything comes together. It's one package, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what the Greek philosophy does, which has, you know, permeated the whole Western, you know, thought
mindset,
is
those Westerners?
It is this idea of compartmentalizing life. Yeah. Everything can be like picked apart, and what that does to you in your normal human experience, it gives you an excuse not to deal with some things because you don't view yourself as a holistic being. Like this part of my life, okay, like my spiritual part or my physical part. When we don't realize, you know, it really keeps you from surrender. Because more from total surrender, you're just like, oh, like, well, this aspect I am willing as a Christian give to Jesus, but not this aspect.
Mm.
Or in this, you know, in this discussion, we talk about this dualistic idea of, you know, body and spirit. Well, it doesn't matter how I treat my body in this life, because all that matters is my spirit. In fact, even Plato and Socrates, these guys thought that too. And was it Socrates who was executed? Mm-hmm. He was happy. He was like, I'm finally going to be free from my body because my spirit's going to be released and all that stuff, right?
Illusional, yeah.
But the Bible paints a different picture, a holistic one. So let's...
And you know, Justin, the interesting thing about what Jonathan is hitting at mm-hmm. is sort of the way that this permeates every aspect of life. There's this really popular book that is called Emotionally Immature Parents of Adult Children, right? And it's dealing with this whole fact of how certain parents just assume mm-hmm. that, oh, as long as you have your physical needs met, you have shelter, you have food, you have clothing, a job, mm-hmm. there's nothing else you need from me, right? You don't need me to be caring. You don't need me to be nurturing. And so I think what Jonathan is saying is when you go back to Genesis 2, verse 7, the way that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he integrated this thing.
Yes.
And through the integration of every single aspect of man, that he's not just this one part is lifeless without the other, but it's the two components coming together that form the complete life or soul, as we would probably term it today, most people would.
Mm-hmm. Kelly.
I think another thing to draw out from that verse to further support what Sebastian is saying is what is said in this verse and what is not said. So at the end, it says, and man became a living being. Mm-hmm. And other translations write, and man became a living soul. Or it doesn't say, and man was therefore given a living soul, mm-hmm. or man then received into himself through his nostrils a living soul. Like, that's not what it says. And so that coming together is like all those things of how God formed his body and then breathed into him. That's who he is holistically, is a soul. Mm-hmm. And that is found, as we can talk about further, of all these different verses of, you know, the parallel between calling someone a soul, or like there's no living soul here, there's a mm-hmm. person. But this is even found in the very creation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's at the very, very beginning. It's mm-hmm. not using all this soul and like really vague language, and at the end it's like, oh, by the way, you know, man's a soul. It's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
It's at the very, 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 very beginning
that
when Adam was created, that he mm-hmm. became a living.
It's very much like a mathematical formula there, isn't there? Verse 7,
yeah.
God formed the man of the dust of the ground. You have dust, which is akin to the physical, you know, the mud, the body, the corporeal element,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So there is a
plus.
There is a plus. So body plus breath,
life force.
Okay, mm-hmm. sci-fi. And it equals, and the man became a living being, a soul.
Yeah,
so
time.
So
yeah.
Totally equal. Thank you for coding creation there.
Here for you, buddy.
Yeah. So in this way, in this episode, it's good that we get into translations are wonderful, but there are some limitations too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we can get into the Greek and the Hebrew there. Old Testament is Hebrew. Jonathan, give us insights there on the Old Testament versions.
Sure. So there's various words for these terms. So like here we see it says became a living being. The word here is nephesh, mm-hmm. which means soul, life, being, a life in person. But there's also other words like ruach. The Hebrew word ruach means spirit. And is, you know, used throughout the Old Testament. And then we also have neshama, which means breath. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these are in the English and other languages translated as soul or spirit. And it can get confusing when you don't see the original Hebrew word, which would clarify what is actually being talked about. Mm-hmm. So having that understanding helps then decoding all these verses that might sound confusing or might even support a wrong understanding of, of the text.
We're going to take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll look at also the Greek version of these words. So don't hold your ruach. We'll be back after this.
Has Inverse been a blessing to you? Do you have questions, comments, or feedback you'd like to leave us? Find us on social media by searching Inverse Bible on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. While there, join us, like us, heart us, thumbs up us. Our handle again is Inverse Bible, no spaces. Now, back to the discussion.
Welcome back. Some of you are like, what? Hebrew and Greek? So we're going to take a little parenthetical break here. And then, Callie, do we need to know Hebrew and Greek and why Hebrew and Greek? And it's all Greek to me.
Yeah. So the one person on Inverse who probably has not studied Greek and Hebrew extensively, I will speak for these people who also don't. And
that's you.
Yeah, it's me.
Okay.
That's me. So I think one of the reasons we need to study Greek and Hebrew here is because of what we just said of when we read it in English, it's confusing.
Mm.
And so it's talking about the same thing over and over again. There's other things talking about like Hades and Sheol, and we're like, what is going on?
That's next episode.
Yeah. So when you see these different verses that talk about the same thing, but then there's confusion there of what the words actually mean,
mm-hmm.
that is the time that we need to go deeper mm-hmm. and look at Hebrew and Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And so when those things, it doesn't have to be every single verse, but when it's something so important, like what happens when you die, mm-hmm. and the words aren't making sense in English or they seem to contradict, it's good to know what's actually underneath mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and very much in your world of coding, if there's something you have a problem on the outside, you just want to, you know, press something and you da-da-da-da, and you get into the inner workings of that, you know, not the user interface, but the back end.
Very good.
And then
look
the Hebrew
that.
And the Greek is the back end of things.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
So we don't need to know all that back end, but there are specialists who do, and we can rely on that information. Mm-hmm. But But experiencing back end is very, very, you know, it's complicated and it's all whatever.
Only certain people.
So Jonathan, we did talk about the Ruach. It is the breath of God, mm-hmm. yeah? And then in English, it's usually translated as spirit.
Neshama is the breath.
Yeah, okay.
Ruach is the spirit.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. The wind of God. There are equivalents there.
Yes,
but it's not who you are. It's just the spark of life. Yeah, yeah? It's God breathes,
and then that's energy.
It's energy.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is not who we are. That is just life. The living component.
It's a component that, mm-hmm. As you said in the mathematical equation, that then contributes to the whole being. Mm-hmm. So God looks at us as a holistic being. This is who you are. It's the body, it's the breath of life, and that becomes a living being, or as the King James Version says, a living soul. It is confusing with those words. And you see the same then in the Greek as well. We have various words. We have pneuma, we have, noe, and psyche. Those are all words that are equivalent to the Hebrew words. That we
so what is equivalent to what here?
So psyche,
you have the Old Testament that's written in Hebrew.
Right.
You have the New Testament written in Greek.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they have different words, but there are also equivalents
connections
together.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So like psyche is what we would say a person, like a living being, as we have in Genesis 2, verse 7.
Okay.
And then we have pneuma, which is spirit, is kind of equivalent to ruach. Mm-hmm. The spirit, and then noe is breath, like neshama, mm-hmm. the breath of life. Mm-hmm. So, and those we find in the New Testament, and we're going to look at some verses, hopefully, if we have time to kind of see the difference.
Yeah,
between those.
Yeah, yeah. So, thank you for that, Callie. Why does it matter, right? Like, are we getting too much into the weeds here, or like?
Why?
Yeah.
So I'll use a different non-Greek or Hebrew word to give an analogy here. So I have a not good relationship with the word whatever. Hmm. Whatever to me is a fighting word. So if I'm like, Justin, do you want to do this or this? And you're like, oh, whatever. I take that as whatever, Callie. I do not care about you. I do not care about this decision. I do not care about this relationship. Please stop talking
down
to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that was rude. Yeah. But you might mean it as like,
doesn't matter what.
You might just mean like, I'm happy to do whatever you'd like, Callie, because I just like spending time with you. Like, that could be what you actually mean. Mm. So we're using the same word, but there are different definitions.
Oh,
and
good.
So I can walk away being super mad and you walk away like very confused. Mm-hmm. We use the same exact word, but I'm going based on the way I interpret that word. Mm-hmm. And you're going based on the way you interpret that mm-hmm. word. So the reason we're looking at the details of these words right now and why this is extremely important in Bible study mm-hmm. is because we need to know what the Bible means when the Bible says things. Mm-hmm. And so we can't just read words and be like, this is what it would mean to me. Therefore, of course, that's what it means.
Right.
That is not good. Mm-hmm. It's like dangerous. It's bad literature study. There's just so many things mm-hmm. wrong with it. Mm-hmm. So even in the way we do that in regular literature study, you think of like, what does this person mean in its original time? Mm-hmm. And so the way to honestly know what the Bible is saying is to let the Bible interpret itself. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then that difference of meaning may mean the end of that relationship.
Yeah.
The difference of meaning here in Scripture, maybe your eternal life is mm-hmm. on the verge there.
Yeah.
Oh, what's an example? One text where, depending on what you know, what the meaning and an example of what we're talking about.
Yeah, if we go to Job 27.
Job 27.
Job 27.
Not
and
Job, but Job.
Job, yeah.
Okay. 27. Looking for a job, and looking for Job. 27. What verse?
3.
Verse 3.
Possibly even verse 4 here.
Okay, mm-hmm. go for it.
It says here, as long as Job is speaking, as long as my breath, mm-hmm. And he's using here the word, neshama, mm-hmm. right? My breath is in me, mm-hmm. and the breath of God in my nostrils, verse 4, my lips will not speak wickedness. Mm-hmm. So here we see Job understands that it is the life force that comes from God, the breath of God that you know, made me wake up. You know, is what gives me life. This is what, you know, disappears when we die. Mm-hmm. But what I like about this verse is that he's saying, as long as I have that, my lips will not speak wickedness. Mm-hmm. In other words, and as long as I have that, I will praise God. So the idea of when we die, we, you know, something goes up there, and then, I mean, if we were in heaven, we would praise God, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
He says, as long as I have that, I will do that. When I don't, I will not, because I'm dead. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of has a double thing here for us for this study. It shows us an example of what breath can mean, but also shows that when there is no breath, there's also no praise. There is no relationship with God.
Okay, any other verses that we see, Kelly?
Yeah, let's go to Genesis 46.
46.
So this is about Jacob's journey to Egypt.
Genesis 46.
And we'll read verse 27.
Verse 27.
Yeah, so it says, "And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were two persons. All the persons of the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. So no, we can't see that because we can't see the back end of the Bible right here because I have it in English here. But this is the word. It's the soul word, the nephesh word, which can be soul or life or person. But I don't think Jacob is talking about floating people joining him in Egypt or immortal ancestors. He's just like, yeah, like 70 people, individuals, alive, humans. And so we can see this here that is talking just a different way to translate that one word. And if we just look at it in English, we're like, oh, clearly it's a different word, but it's not. It's just being translated differently. And a few different times this is even used as well is like the life of the flesh is in the blood, like Leviticus 17:11. Talk about Elijah complained that Jezebel was seeking to take his life in 1 Kings. And I just want to make this point, too, just a practical thing that somebody else can do if they want to go through this, because I know we're rapidly going through these verses, is if you look up one of these verses in, let's say, a like blueletterbible.org, you can find the Greek or the Hebrew, and you can just say, show me all the verses that use this word, and it'll show you all the different translations. Like, you don't have to take our word for it. Just find that word and be like, whoa, that is life and person and soul. That's so weird. It's the same word. So I just invite everybody to do that exercise, because it really shows you.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, and then there's many who study the Greek and Hebrew, so you may not have to talk, speak the language, but getting into it provides an extra layer of study.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
It's
awesome.
So another New Testament example of what Callie was talking about is in Acts chapter 27.
Acts 27.
And this is about Paul and the tempest. So in Acts chapter 27, in verses 22 and 37.
22 and 37.
And 37.
All right.
Yeah, just for sake of time.
So 27, 22.
Chapter 27, verse 22, it says, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." So here we're dealing with, this word for life, this suke word, which is the parallel to nefesh, neshama. And this idea of this loss of life, he's like, well, he's comparing it to the ship. So he's talking about that which can be destroyed. So if it were an immortal soul, it's not something that could be lost. It's not something that can be destroyed. When you go to verse 37, where we're dealing with the actual concept of souls, the King James Version translates it as souls. It says, "And in all we were 276 persons on the ship." But that word on the back end is the word soul, right? So here we're getting into this idea that, oh, yeah, these persons were with him. They weren't floating bodies, right? Non-corporal beings floating around like Casper the Friendly Ghost. But this was like actual people that were with him, who were on that ship. And then it says in the very next verse, when they had eaten enough, they lightened the
ship. They're alive.
So they're alive, they're active, and they're participating in these things.
In a way, like the New King James Version actually cleans up some of these verses, makes them more clear. That's why we're referring to King James, because King James is very popular. And then they use the word soul a lot there, and that can cause confusion. At one point in James, if you can go to James real quick, James chapter 5, in one verse here, the New King James actually does choose to go with the soul translation. But again, we see here an interesting conclusion. James 5, verse 20, it says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." First of all, here the word is, again, psyche, which means life. Person, soul, person, life. It is translated in multiple ways. But what we see here, what's interesting, is that a soul can die. Now, that's a new concept to many. I thought the soul is immortal. We talked a little bit about in episode one that, we don't have that. But it says here that the soul can die. So if the soul is not immortal and can die, what is the soul? Well, we already saw that the soul is the whole person.
Correct.
The Bible defines it this way. But, through the centuries, this idea, this dualistic Greek idea has really, really gotten into the Christian church and made us define this word soul with something else, not by the Bible.
This consciousness outside of the
exactly.
body.
Exactly. So it is so important that we let the Bible interpret itself. The Bible needs to be the focus as we try to define the words that the Bible is using. Mm-hmm. And this one, it just brings it out so nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to go to 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you do see these components. There's some people who just smash them all together and it's like, let's not think about it. There's others who do parse them out. And here you see there are three components there. But God, the Bible does look at sanctification as a holistic perspective. Yeah? Your body is sanctified. The spirit, that's a spiritual component, is sanctified. Yeah. And then you as an individual, whole, is being sanctified. Mm-hmm. How is modern society trying to not look at it holistically and tries to separate? And why is that bad, right? Why can't we just look at the body and look at spiritual? Why is that bad to do that?
Well, a quick example of that is in education, right? Higher education, essentially, when you go to university, the focus is only on the mental component of the person. Mm-hmm. But university life, as any student will tell you, is not catered to a strong spiritual experience, right? Nor is it catered to a strong physical experience. Like, well, we're not going to maximize your sleep. We're not going to maximize your rest or your exercise. So these components, even in education, when we're trying to develop people and strive for excellence, does not include all three components of the human being. And to me, that should be intrinsic back to our quarter on education, that it is the holistic development, right, of the physical, mental, and spiritual component.
Mm-hmm. And you can go to hopetv.org/inverse and look at the whole episode, the whole quarter, on the topic of education. Well, next week we're going to look at, we've been spending time on Nefesh and Ruach and Psyche and all here on this episode. But next episode we're going to look at Hades and Sheol and Hell and Hellfire. Is that a real place? Is that next door? Where is that in this ecosystem that we're living in? Well, on behalf of the studio and the team, I want to say thank you for joining us here on Inverse. God bless you and stay with us as we look at the topic of beyond death. See you next week.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.